Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Talking with Heroes talk show program. I am Bob Calvert, the founder of Talking with Heroes, and your host for this program tonight. To find out some about our 9-plus-year history, for those of you listening for the first time, go to talkingwithheroes.com/about. I try to keep that updated every other week, once or twice a month. Also, we have a news site, thankyouforyourservice.us. All of our shows are in there. I believe we go back about a year on that. And also our new audio and video channel, AmeristreamLive.com/talkingwithheroes. For over a year now, we have been doing weekly audio programs for members of an alliance of military support and veterans groups on our Thursday night program. Their website is www.alliance.org. They now have over 61 members with many new organizations in the process of applying for membership. Most of these are nonprofits. Well, they're all nonprofits, and they're led by veterans, veterans helping veterans. Matter of fact, this month, October 21st to 23rd, they're having the 2015 National Conference, R4 Alliance Conference. Veterans and leaders of military support groups coming from all across America. I'll be there. We'll be doing a lot of short video talk show events for the folks there. And what an honor this is and excitement for me, because my daughter, who served in the Army, she's actually what started me doing this, actually 11 years ago, she's going to be there helping me, and she's going to be meeting a lot of people. So I'm really excited about that. But for info on the previous programs we have had with R4 Alliance members, over 50 now organizations that we've had programs like we're doing tonight, go to our news site and click on the article on the left column that says listen to details about 45-plus R4 Alliance members, partners, veterans, and families programs. And that'll give you a list of all of them. With each one, there's a link that you click on, and it starts playing, so audio. Okay, now in this program, we're going to find out about another nonprofit doing amazing work to help their fellow veterans. And it's an honor to talk tonight with former Army Captain Matt Hickey, who is also the CEO and co-founder of U.S. Expeditions and Explorations. Their website is www.usx.vet. So I want to welcome Matt to the show. Thank you for your service to our country, Matt. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. Thanks a lot for having me.
Absolutely. Glad we could have the program with you tonight. And I want to say hi to Harold, too, because you can talk about Harold in a few minutes. But talk a little bit, if you don't mind, just to get started, a little bit about yourself, your background, how long you served, maybe a little bit about your service.
So I gained my entry into the Army through West Point. So I was commissioned as an officer out of West Point in 2009. So I did my 4 years at the academy there. I played hockey on the Army hockey team all 4 years out there, and got involved with that family, that side of things. So, you know, West Point got a lot of athletics and hockey's amongst them. So that really inspired me to when I got into the Army, continue my career as a member of a team. And having my athletic career end at West Point, at least officially, and then joining the Army, I wanted to do everything that I could in the Army to get on the best possible team. So I was commissioned as a field artillery officer and did the basic field artillery school. And I wanted to do a little bit more before I joined my unit, so I went to Joint Fire Observer course, which helps you talk to aircraft. And then I went to Ranger School and Airborne School. And then finally got stationed up in Alaska, where I did a number of different jobs, fire support officer at the company and battalion levels, and then was an infantry platoon leader, and then served downrange in Afghanistan as both a maneuver platoon leader and a fire support officer. And when we redeployed back to Alaska, I assumed a job as kind of the cold weather operations and mountaineering officer for U.S. Army Alaska, where we spearheaded sort of a mission there to get U.S. Army Alaska back to its roots as being the world's premier cold weather and Arctic fighting force. We'd gotten away from that over the course of the 12 years or so that we'd been deployed. So with the Northern Warfare Training Center up there in Alaska and a number of other people, we got more soldiers going through cold weather and mountaineering training, and we also expanded the influence that U.S. Army Alaska had in partnering with other nations in cold weather environments such as the Arctic or mountainous regions across the world. So that, in a nutshell, is kind of what I had done. So that's kind of brings me here today.
Okay. Wow. Well, thank you again for your service. So now I've had some emails with Harold Earls, and he was an Army senior baseball player. How did you become friends with him, and what led you all to get involved in USX?
Yeah, so about a year ago, Harold Earls, then Cadet Earls, he's now commissioned Second Lieutenant Earls, he had an idea of creating a nonprofit organization that eventually became what is now USX. And he was obviously out at West Point at that time. I was up in Alaska. We had no idea who each other were. And he was, as the story goes, up late one night, probably procrastinating some sort of homework he had to do out there at West Point. And he was surfing the internet, and somehow he came across my name being associated with the Army and being associated with some Army missions that we'd done in the mountaineering realm. Also my name attached to being a former West Point hockey player. And so he reached out to me and kind of shared some of his ideas. And like I said, it's about a year ago. And so we threw some things around, and as his senior year started progressing and getting towards an end, we created what is now USX. And with it, we have implemented what is now the Veteran Everest Expedition, which is the first Nexus expedition, as we call it at USX, that we're going to conduct. So Harold and I had never met in person until we did an expedition climb of Mount Rainier this past August. But we did a lot of teleconferences, and we did a lot of phone calls and email correspondence and third-party correspondence, and really developed a relationship in that manner, shared a lot of ideas, and got a lot of our contacts involved to create the organization and bring our to reality. Obviously, the travel between Alaska and New York was difficult, and now I'm in Colorado, and he's still out in New York, so it's still not that easy, but it's easier. So,
where are you at in Colorado? I'm just curious.
So I live in Colorado Springs, and moved down here not too long ago, and Harold commissioned in May as a lieutenant, and he did a stint as a graduate assistant. And now he's about to ship off to infantry officer leader course in Fort Benning, Georgia.
Wow. I don't know how I missed this, but I'm in Colorado Springs too.
We should be in person maybe.
I know. I thought about it. It'd be cool to have somebody actually come over where I do been doing these audio programs since my last trip to Iraq and Afghanistan, here in this senior citizen building. Yeah, and just actually do it here. Well, maybe you will do that at some point.
Maybe next
though.
Time.
Yeah,
maybe after we're completed with our first big endeavor here, we can do a follow-up or something like that, and we'll do it in the flesh. Wow, that'd be great.
Yeah, that sounds like a good plan. Okay. So talk about this Mount Everest climb. It's the first Army team to climb Everest. Is that right?
Yeah, so what I want to make clear is that, you know, our organization, it's a nonprofit organization. We are, you know, a veteran nonprofit created by veterans. It's for veterans, but it's not, you know, sanctioned by DOD or the Army or West Point or anybody. We just happen to be people who have been affiliated with those organizations in the past or currently, but you know, our organization is independent, and much like all the nonprofits are. Veterans are involved with nonprofits all over the country in their free time and in some other capacity that's outside their official duty. But with USX, we had some ideas, and one of them was putting together a team of veterans and personnel that are Army to create the first ever team of all Army, whether it's active duty or National Guard or veterans, to go climb Mount Everest. And in addition to that, no combat wounded veteran has ever climbed Mount Everest with on their own or with a guide or on with any sort of team. And those two things kind of got us thinking a little bit, because everybody wants to be the first to do something, but it kind of seems cliche these days to just come up with something that nobody else has done and then go do it in a slightly altered fashion. And so what was really at the heart of our organization was connecting with soldiers in a different level. And for me, I know personally, being a leader in the Army for some time and having been deployed to some places, that a glaring issue that stands out these days in our armed forces is the mental health of both active soldiers and veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a difficult subject to talk about. It's not as easy to talk about that as it is people who come back with visible wounds, and people aren't as educated about it. And so what we wanted to do was combine all these ideas and efforts into something that we could truly make a difference. And so with our veteran Everest climb, what we want to do is, yes, we want to put the first all-Army team on top of the world, and we want to put a combat wounded veteran on top of Mount Everest. But most importantly, what we're trying to do is raise awareness and funds, but most importantly, awareness towards mental health initiatives that are persistent and are not going away anytime soon within our military. And it's not the fact that they exist, it's just how we deal with them. So we want to bring attention to it, and we're going to use Mount Everest to do that, because it is a medium in which we can funnel a lot of attention and accomplish some things that haven't been done before.
Absolutely. Now, you're not just doing this to climb Mount Everest, though. I was reading about your plan, your mission. I guess while you're climbing, you're doing this to raise money and, of course, awareness for service members suffering from PTS, right? Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so a lot of questions that we field is how are you funding the expedition, and how are you raising awareness? And they're all great questions. And so what we've done is worked with a lot of corporate sponsors to help us fund the actual cost of the expedition. And so we're trying to reduce, as a lot of people know, it costs a lot of money to conduct an expedition to Mount Everest, both because of the permitting fees and the duration of the climb. And so we're using some corporate sponsors to help us get to the mountain. And in return, you know, we give them some visibility, and much like any sort of sponsorship would work. And so that offsets the cost of the expedition itself. On top of that, what we're aiming to do is a peer-to-peer, so to speak, a friends and family type of fundraiser, where the expedition will be covered through mostly corporate funding. And then when we get to the mountain, and while we're climbing and even before we're climbing, we want to raise a certain amount of money. At this point in time, it's kind of fluctuating, to go directly towards four different causes that are supporting mental health initiatives for veterans at this exact time. And so that's the monetary side of things, which is certainly important, especially when it comes to talking about fundraising. But I think the lasting impact comes with awareness, because you can write a check for $20 and forget about it. But if you can be moved to the point where, say, you make changes, slight changes in your lifestyle to learn more about an individual or to learn more about a subject, so you're better educated and understand your surroundings and you understand the veterans that are coming home and the veterans who have been home, then that's where the impact lasts. And so while we're on the mountain, we're going to be sending out messages in different ways that people can get involved, different facts about the issue. And so when people are following our progress, they're not only learning about how well we're doing on the mountain, but other things associated with mental health and veterans and statistics. And then at the very conclusion of everything, we will be producing a documentary of our whole experience from start to finish of our climb, what it meant to us, what it means to other people. And that's being produced by a company called Goldcrest Films, which is, I believe, partly run, I might be misspeaking, but Sebastian Hungar, who has written the book War and done a lot of great things for veterans and reporting on wars. It's his company that is producing the documentary, and that'll be the last piece of the puzzle for at least our side of things when it comes to the Veteran Everest Expedition. So that's kind of the three-pronged approach we're bringing to our expedition in terms of, you know, fundraising and raising awareness.
So how do people find out? I mean, first of all, are all your team members pretty much locked in? Or are you still looking for more veterans to climb with you?
Well, so that's a great question, Bob. You know, and so the amount of people that we can support on the expedition is connected to the amount of money it'll cost. So right now we have four expedition members, and we're not in the capacity where we can add any more, because then we're going to put a larger burden on the cost of the expedition. So we're not actively looking for participants in the climb. What we are looking for are people who want to support our cause, either in a donation, either in helping out our organization, which the USX, or just learning about what we're doing so they can share it with others. So that's the support we're looking for right now. And if people want to learn more about us, they can log on to, as you mentioned earlier, www.usx.vet. That's V-E-T, and there's information on ways to get involved and ways to donate and more information about the organization itself, and then our first major expedition, which is to Mount Everest.
Do you know when that is yet? Do you have a firm date set?
So we have it scheduled. It'll be for the spring climbing season on Mount Everest, so that'll be, we'll depart stateside here, or as a crusty E7 told me the other day, we're going to deploy in April, and it'll last from April through May. So it's anywhere from 45 to 60 days, depending on travel time and weather conditions and a various amount of other things. And hopefully get a shot at the summit sometime in mid-May, and then return back towards the end of May. In that time period. So that's when we're looking to launch, and that's okay. When we'll be on the mountain.
Now, my mind's always racing here. A habit I have.
Yeah.
me
too.
Will you be able to make phone calls at any point as you're climbing, or will you lose any signal at some point?
So what we'll have while we're on the mountain is it's not going to be a large you know, talk looking thing that you might see when you're downrange, but we will have some connectivity while we're there. Internet is apparently come and go while we're at base camp. Satellite
right.
phones are operable, but they're expensive. But we do have ways to communicate, and we will be updating things online. We will be recording phone calls. We've been experimenting with trying to send back some video. There's a lot of ways to stay in touch, and there's a lot of ways people have stayed in touch from the mountain. Everything is so modernized these days that connectivity can be done anywhere if you have the ability to pay for it and acquire those resources. So some of that infrastructure will exist, and yes, we'll be able to stay in touch. To what degree, we'll see. Certainly phone calls, certainly internet. We'll have a live blog. I guess I don't know what live blog necessarily means. A blog that'll be updated every few days at the least. Nobody will be there necessarily responding, but yes, we'll certainly be able to stay in touch. And then we'll have people stateside that are still monitoring our progress, that if we're not able to, let people know what's going on directly, we can call from higher up on the mountain and have somebody else update our status on our webpage or on our blog site.
Okay. Well, as we get closer, or as you all get closer to this, I can help you with some of that. Like we could, like the program we're doing right now, as you can see, you're doing it. All it was required really is you dial a phone number.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if
that's
possible,
maybe we can do a phone call from the mountain.
Well, I'm thinking we could do a program when you deploy in April, when you're there at the summit. You know, you're there, you're getting ready to start, and then, you know, we can talk about some more calling programs. I mean, I think it'd be great to, you know, for people to have a way to hear you live as we're going. And, of course, whoever's filming this for you could be filming that, too.
That's a great idea. That's a great idea. So we'll have to stay in touch about that. And so hopefully the next phone call we do is even more exciting because we're getting that much closer to our execution date and then at least operational execution date. And then maybe we give you a call from the Himalaya. That'd be kind of neat.
Right, yeah, we'll have to plan some of that a little bit ahead of time as far as dates and times, though, but not totally too far ahead. But we may be able to help some with the video side of it. We have some things we're working on. We have a new kind of a partner company, so we'll talk more about this probably off the air or something. But fortunately, you have plenty of time. And so is there a web page set up, or do they just go to usx.vet? For people, I know you're talking about corporate sponsors and you're working on that, but for individuals, like you said, maybe $20, you know, if they feel led to want to help with it, is there someplace on your website or a link that, why don't you tell people?
Yes. So if you log on to, as I said before, www.usx, that's Uniform Sierra X-Ray .vet, you'll come to our organization's homepage. And on there, there it's a standard web page, and one of the first things you'll see will be two tabs. One says About Us, another one will be Donate Now. So if you're just that anxious to donate some money, you can click on that, and it'll send you to another link where you do your standard, you know, online payment sort of thing, and that goes directly towards our account and our treasurer. And if you want to learn more, there are corresponding links. We have a video from our Mount Rainier climb to give people a taste of sort of what the documentary might look like. And then there's some other information on there as well. You can buy some T-shirts and learn more about the people climbing and learn more about the organization. So if you just log on to that site, again, www.usx.vet, that'll provide the information that you need. I do want to say, as long as we're talking about it, that we've had a tremendous amount of support from another online e-commerce sites called GovX, G-O-V-X, and they've been helping us along the way in order to kind of get set up. They've been helping us with our online fundraising, and they actually have a web page as well that talks specifically about our organization and how they are supporting us. And I don't want to confuse people, but that is usxeverest.com, and that'll bring you to their website. And if people haven't had a chance to check out GovX, they should. They provide great apparel and clothing and discounts on other such things that pretty much anybody would be interested in if you log on to their site. So they've been very, very helpful for us. So one of those two sites will get you all the information that you need if you want to get involved and help in any manner.
Okay. I believe we have it on the talk show page, but when we finish, I'll make sure. If it's not, I'll put it. It's usxeverest.com. And that will tell people about GOVX, right?
That's correct. Yeah, that'll be, it's kind of like a page off of their homepage. So, and Bob, you know, there's another thing that I kind of want to bring up here as long as we're on. You know, I'm just thinking of some of the questions that people have asked me, and they're trying to differentiate our expedition to Everest and our organization itself, because we kind of simultaneously launched the two of them, both U.S. Expeditions and Explorations as a nonprofit organization and the Veteran Everest Expedition. So it's kind of a lot of confusion if you're not on the inside and know and talk about it every day. Mm-hmm. So we created USX as an organization to empower veterans to inspire others. And we had the vision of kind of tapping into two different resources or two different pools of inspiration. One is the current veteran, the current soldier who is either continuing his duty or is complete with his official duties and is continuing on with his life in some other capacity, but still wants to bring some of that, the edge, the warrior ethos, that attitude that they've had of always having a task and purpose and accomplishing the mission, no matter how difficult it may be, to their lives in some capacity. And the other pool of inspiration that we had was sort of more of a historical side of things when the U.S. Army and other people associated with the government or the military in our country went on very difficult and challenging expeditions or operations in the name of their country, whether it was Lewis and Clark or whether it was people going to the moon or whether it was people traversing, in trying to get to the poles. And we were a nation that did that for quite a long time. And then at some point we transitioned from that into the government not necessarily backing that as much as it was more independent groups going and doing these adventurous and courageous things, which whether that's good or not is doesn't necessarily matter. But the point is that it was something patriotic and something that we could get behind as a country and feel proud of rather than just necessarily using our military to do peacekeeping and humanitarian assistance and obviously national defense, which are all great things. And so combining the two of those, both the historic and the current status of the individuals that we have, we aim to try to do those things in the future. So USX is going to do three things. We're going to do Nexus expeditions, such as this Veteran Everest expedition, where we conduct an expedition for cause, in this case, the improvement of mental health and mental health initiatives within our armed forces. So that's the first thing. Second thing is research initiatives. So we've partnered with universities and scientists to gather data and test the physiological limits of the human body. And so that'd be research initiatives. And the third thing then would be adventurous training, where we partner with organizations or companies or military units, and we put them through a rigorous team building exercise in a challenging and beautiful place in order for them to get the desired bonding and impact that they might want to have. And so into the future, the USX is not just going to be this expedition to Everest. It's going to be an organization that does, three main things and then many things underneath that. So
right.
That's a question I've fielded, and I just wanted to clear that up here with you on the air.
I appreciate that. Actually, I was going to ask you about nonprofit status, so I appreciate you bringing that up.
Yeah.
Now, I met you through Bert Gillette with R4 Alliance. Is this part of the networking with other groups that you're talking about?
Can you say that one more time? I kind of missed you on the last part there.
Oh, I found out about you through Bert Gillette at R4 Alliance.
I think Harold and Bert first contacted each other. I'm not sure who contacted who, but
oh, okay.
Bert then reached out to me and made himself available in the R4 Alliance and originally wanted to try to bring us on as a member of the Alliance, but because we're a newer organization that doesn't quite meet the criteria yet to be an existing member, what Bert and I have decided is that is the R4 Alliance is going to help make their resources available to us and give us some mentorship as a younger nonprofit. And then over the course of time here in the next few months and, next year, we'll hopefully be entered into the R4 Alliance and be able to use the other organizations in the full capacity. So Bert's done everything he can up to this point to help us kind of move along, and he's made everything that's available and at his disposal available to us. So we're very, very thankful for that, and certainly it's something worth checking out and what they're doing at the R4
mm-hmm.
Alliance and all the organizations that are involved with them.
Absolutely. Yeah, one of the things I've noticed, it's been a year now since I dedicated our Thursday night program to R4 Alliance members or people they refer me to. Most of them are like you guys, veterans. Veterans helping veterans, veterans leading the way, veterans starting organizations. If I could use a trend, maybe the word, but I've never seen anything like this before other than the last year, and it's growing, like, amazing. I mean, and that's basically your organization, right? You're a group of veterans. I heard earlier that some of your climbers maybe had struggled with PTSD and even suicide, and here they are out there working together and reaching out to other veterans. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Our organization is more than just the people see the four people that are going to be climbing Everest, and our organization is more
mm-hmm.
than that. The four climbers that are climbing are just climbing, and yes, they have ties to the military. you know, Chad Jukes, he's a retired staff sergeant, lost a leg serving in Iraq, and has certainly dealt with both physical and emotional and mental struggles in that. And then another key part of our organization is a retired sergeant major. His name is Sergeant Major Todd Burnett, and Todd has made his story very, because he feels that if he can share his story and his struggles with mental health and PTSD, that it can get other people to share theirs, because that's sort of the first step in recovering or progressing. And I don't know all the statistics. I think it's available on our website. But Sergeant Major Burnett deployed numerous times with combat engineer units and was in a lot of very stressful leadership positions in combat situations, and saw soldiers get killed and under his leadership. And that's what happens when you're in combat. And then you also saw the other side of it when you redeploy, and you're dealing with the side effects of what happens downrange. And he's seen suicides and dealt with the repercussions of that, and has made it public that he's had thoughts of it himself. And it doesn't mean that anybody's weak. It's just a fact. It's something that happens, and he got the help that he needed. And I'll share with you too, Bob. You know, I mean, I've dealt with my own things, and whether it's, and I've shared this with a lot of people, whether it's from the Army and your time deployed, or your time not deployed, or just your daily life. I mean, I think a lot of people go through stressful situations and situations where they can kind of get up or down, and they keep them to themselves. And, you know, that can be okay sometimes. But if there are resources available for people to get some of these things out, and for them to know it's okay, and that everything would still function normally, then I think it wouldn't be as big an issue. But right now, that's sort of hidden, and people aren't sure whether they should bring it up, or they don't want to bring it up because they think they're weak and they're supposed to be strong. And I think the real strength is actually addressing it and talking about it, rather than keeping it to yourself and trying to, you know, fight that fight on your own. Nobody go fight a war by themselves. So why are you going to fight that one all alone?
Absolutely. Wow, this is great. Okay, well, I definitely want to keep in touch with you. Maybe after I get back from the R4 Alliance conference later this month, that we can talk together. I think I mentioned this to you on one of our calls, but I get around in a little motor scooter, like a wheelchair, but I'm near, you know where Southgate is, without giving away my location? Okay.
Yeah.
I get there real easy, so we can meet there.
Bob, people are going to start flocking to your location now, I think.
What? What was that?
I think they're going to start flocking to your location now that they know you live by Southgate,
yeah,
in Colorado Springs.
Yeah, well, they'll look around Southgate and try to find me. I won't be there, but we'll meet. Okay,
yeah.
Great. Any last things you want to say to people that are listening? Maybe give your website addresses again, and maybe even how they can reach you on Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah, so once again, the website is www.usx.vet, or you can go to www.usxeverest.com, and those will get you the information about our organization, about the Veteran Everest Expedition, and about one of our premier sponsors and supporter of the military and veterans in our expedition, and they're called GovX. And just one last thing I want to say, and I kind of end all of our organizational meetings with this, and that's, you know, sometimes we get caught up in the emotions and the emotions of that business or that operation or whatever it might be, and we forget about why we're doing it. And so we're doing this to support veterans, and we're doing this to empower veterans, to inspire other people to continue doing incredible things for our country and for themselves and for their families. And if we can keep that in our minds, and I think we'll always do right and we'll always do good. And we just kind of sometimes stray off path, but we can stay on course with those things in our mind, then I think everything was good. So, Bob, I really appreciate you having me on. I look forward to the next time we get to talk.
Absolutely. Hey, before we go off the air, I'm going to do this too, but I wonder if you want to give a shout-out to our troops that are serving.
Well, Absolutely. Hey, I mean, anybody who is deployed anywhere, whether that's Afghanistan or Iraq, because I know we have soldiers that are there, or Kuwait, I know 4th ID is there, or Africa, or any other nook and cranny around the world. It's quite of an experience what you're getting to do, and there's a lot of good things that are coming ahead when you redeploy back home. So keep up the great work. Hang in there, and look forward to having you back stateside.
Great. Well, thank you, Matt, very much. I appreciate your time on the air. I will be promoting your show tonight through all the social media. I'll email you. And so for people that are listening, you know, you're listening right now, you like what you've heard, help a lot if you could share the post on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Google+. Let people know about you listening to this program tonight and what you thought of it, and help get the word out. So thank you very much, Matt, and we'll definitely get together. Some interesting things
right,
I just heard you say, too. I wouldn't be surprised if I was on one of my embeds with your unit in Afghanistan.
I wouldn't either. Seems like you get around pretty good, Bob. Thanks again so much.
Well, absolutely. Okay, you take care. God bless you. And
hey,
thank you again for your service to our country. Well, folks, you've been listening again on TalkingWithHeroes.com. I appreciate you all taking the time to listen, whether you're listening while we're broadcasting live or any time later that it's convenient for you to listen to an audio program 24/7, whether it's your computer, laptop, tablet, smartphone. I'm even actually learned how to listen on my smartphone. I'm getting better in this tech stuff here. Just listen and help get the word out. But before we go off the air, I do also want to reach out, first of all, to all of our veterans and families, all of our active duty military and families, wherever you're deployed to or in the United States. Thank you for your service to our country. And those of you who are in areas where you could be in harm's way, be safe, stay alert. We're looking forward to you come back. God bless you. God bless America.